Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 120, the So Tired Edition. I learned a couple things in the creating of this podcast. Hopefully, you will learn from my mistakes and not repeat them. All right, so we got a great show lined up for you today. Hope everybody out there is having a good week. It's been kind of crazy around here at the Caffeination, as per usual. We've been doing a whole bunch of different things that we haven't really done a lot lately. We're trying to research some of the more obtuse and offbeat stuff that we have been trying to do, and we're also trying to include a lot more different sources, so we went out and found a whole bunch of different ones. Sorry, actually moving around the room today a little bit, as opposed to just sitting in on the desk, so the mic stand's a little heavy to try this out, but that's because I keep leaving things all over the place. Alright, like I said, we have a good I don't know if I said this, but we do have a good show lined up for you today. We have a little bit of musical goodness, originally from the PodSafe Music Network. Today, we actually just have a link over to that band's website so that you can enjoy them. So we'll get to that in a minute. First of all, we wanted to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor for today's show. That would be the GoToMeeting. If you're looking for a better way to present or work with everybody during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone will go to GoToMeeting.com and they will see your computer screen show up on their monitors. It's wonderful. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a per-minute fee like other providers. You can meet as often as you want, as long as you need. You don't need to fly anywhere. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to... You don't need to be polite to the people in the room with you. We had a meeting like that today where it was just torture to actually be polite to the presenter. You won't have that problem here. The presenter thinks everybody's being very polite. Not only will you save time and money, you'll also end up saving money with this too. You can head on over there and see for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right. Again, we'd like to thank our sponsor for this show. GoToMeeting has been wonderful to us, so hopefully they will be wonderful to everybody out there who decides to give their service a shot. We do have an interesting band to throw out here right away. I usually have music in the background, but I'm a little hesitant to try and do that right now because of one of the many things that I actually learned doing today's show. I said there were a couple lessons. Lesson number one, when you have the opportunity, you should complete all the tasks that you know you have to get done before you pass out at night. One of those would have been I should have been working on the podcast instead of just staring blankly at a book that I just got, because that probably would have made this whole thing a little bit more enjoyable. I could have got to bed a little bit easier, and we would be much farther along at this point. Rule number two, this is not the time, not now, not any time is the time to play with your computer's sensitive settings right before you have to produce something on said computer. I could bring the laptop down here and try and produce the podcast on that, but it just wouldn't feel the same. It wouldn't sound the same. I don't know what would be the same if I tried to do that, but that's rule number two. And rule number three is definitely get to the point in your podcast, at which point we will say we'd just like to welcome back the Clintons and their song, which was very popular first time we played it. Hopefully everybody will find it the same thing here. This is the Clintons with Fan of the Bean. You know you are, you know I am. Again, here's the Clintons from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, and Fan of the Bean.
Same cliche, I woke up today. That surprise of pain. Tell you about a blondie who was really hot. I tell you how she broke me, but I'd rather not. Instead, I'll tell you about my trip to Vegas, hanging out on the strip. I tried my hand at poker, but I lost my grip. I had a few too many, now my brain's gone soft. Maybe fear and loving wasn't too far off. It's got a stranglehold on me. It's got a stranglehold on me. I'm addicted to caffeine, and today I'm not a fan of the bean. I think it's obscene. I'm addicted to caffeine, and today I'm not a fan of the bean.
Mm-hmm. step outside. A mustard full of ladies goes cruising by. Stereo's pumping up the B&L mix, but I can't chase them till I get my fix. It's got a stranglehold on me. It's got a stranglehold on me. While I think it's obscene, I'm addicted to caffeine. And today I'm not a fan of the bean. It's obscene, I'm addicted to caffeine, and today I'm not a fan of the bean.
It's got a stranglehold on me. 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 I'm addicted to caffeine, and today I'm not a fan of the bean. I think it's obscene, I'm addicted to caffeine, and today I'm not a fan of the bean.
Oh, no, no, today I'm not a fan of the bean. Today I'm not a fan of the bean, yeah.
There was the Clintons with their song Fan of the Bean. Hope you enjoyed that. Now, if I sound just a little bit different than I did before the actual for the break there, then that would be because the computer, right after I told you how stupid it was to mess with things, I thought I had it nice in a set little position. It decided to go bzzz and turn right off. So we reverted to the very simple settings that we had back at the beginning. So we're just going to hope beyond hope at this point, that this podcast is fine. It is stable. The computer is lovely. I'm actually going to hug my monitor after the show's over. I just wanted to know how I feel about it right now. It's a very nice computer. I'd like to get this done sometime before, you know, next week. So, all right. A little bit of a general information to take care of before we get right down into the tech tidbits. Like you may have guessed, given the late hour that we're currently experiencing here, this might be a little bit longer of a shorter of a show, not necessarily the long drawn out babble-a-thon that you may have expected today. We're going to keep it around 30 minutes, hopefully 30 to 40. I'm not going to go over that by any long shot. And we're almost at 10 now, so you don't have to listen to me too much longer. All right, in case you were looking for this podcast, it lives over at the website where it's hosted at www.caffination.com. That's caffination.com. If you're listening to us on the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, then welcome to our world. You can head on over there, check out all the other stuff, and I heartily recommend that everybody go on over there whenever you can, and you can check out some of the new stuff that we have over there. There's a whole way you can sign up. We have our world map, set of recipes about the producer if you care, a whole bunch of fun things that we're trying to roll out there at the Caffeination. We've also been doing fairly regular blog postings about different things we find online, different minutiae and news, as it were. So hopefully you'll find some of that. There's also been we actually threw down a little bit of information about a website we're going to be reviewing in an upcoming show called My Cyber Twin, and we talked previously about a website called Juiced, so both of those are going to be reviewed in an upcoming site, especially since I just got invited to the Juiced beta, so that's awesome. I was playing around with it today. So far, so good. Interesting service, that's all I'll say at this point, until I get a little bit more of a feel for how it works, what it does to the computer, the whole nine yards. Just to give you a little overview, Juiced is actually a TV on your computer. It's a set of channels that you can go to, available on demand anytime. It's pretty cool. My Cyber Twin's actually a avatar so that you don't have to talk to people who want to come to your website. I apologize right off the bat to anybody who may have been offended or might be offended by my Cyber Twin, you can just look back in the archives and check that out. We will also be taking Easter itself off. There will be no episode this Sunday. There might not even be an episode until next Wednesday or Thursday. We might move up the day a little bit to see if we can hit the production schedule. It all depends on what all is going on around there. Easter, as it's become known in my family, is the Armageddon of food. Why is that? Well, most people think that Thanksgiving's the big holiday for food. Well, not so much around here. Around here, we like to think of Easter as the huge holiday of food. And why would that be? Well, because we start off the day, we go to church, and we go to my parents' house. All right, so you go to my parents' house, and then we have the traditional gigantic Thomas family breakfast. My mom's maiden name. Then we rock out with, we head on over to lunch at a relative's house. Then we head on over to my grandmother's house just to visit. No food there, although we're offered. We could eat if we really wanted to. Then we head on over to Jen's parents' house. Why? Well, that's dinner. I'm sorry, actually, dinner's hosted at her grandmother's house, and you can't make a poor showing by not eating a lot, so you have at least 2 to 3 gigantic meals during the day of Easter. We spend on average about 1.5 hours at everybody's house. There's 4 stops along the way. There's breakfast, lunch, breakfast, lunch, Nana, and dinner. The only place where we do not eat is my grandmother's house, and that's just because there is no other way we can fit that amount of food into that amount of time. This year, we actually have the added bonus of dragging the kid with us, so this is going to be all kinds of fun. I will be in no condition, girth-wise, to actually fit into the chair, because, you know, my wife is a very svelte eater. She picks and chooses what she eats. She has a lot of what we like to call self-control around here. Not so much myself. So, We're going to make a good showing on that day. I will fear no leftovers, let us put it at that point. I will be a monument to gluttony and loving every minute of it. Then, of course, after that, you have to go back to the normal schedule of actually watching what you eat like a normal human being. So that about wraps up the general information. We're going to try and get the extra show back into this month, so hopefully you'll find it popping up at even at the time you least expect it. And I guess we should probably get right on down into the tech tidbits section here. All right, now that I've fixed the chair, I can actually do that. Let's see. Service desk, how may I abuse you? Well, we've actually cut up today's show into two little sections here in the tech tidbits area. First one's all stuff dealing with service, how you can give it, what you should do if you don't get enough of it, the whole nine yards. First and foremost, we want to remind everybody that there was a gigantic Microsoft issue, we'll call it, this past week, or I even think it might have popped up at the end of last week. So what you need to do is you need to head on over to either caffeination.com or go to windowsupdate.com. If you head on over to caffeination.com, it says major Microsoft patch, do it now. Click on the do it now. Or you can head on over to windowsupdate.com and make sure you get it. This does not apply to you if you have a Realtek audio card. If your sound card is made by Realtek, do not apply the fix because that will do something weird to your computer. And if you'd like to find out what that is, then you can head on over to the Caffeination and click, unless, of course, this applies to you. This will apply to you if you have Realtek. That's about enough to that. If you don't know if you have a Realtek sound card, let's see, how do you go about finding that out? Well, what you could do is you could right-click on my computer, you head into Manage, all right? And you wait for that to pop up. Whole bunch of fun little menus on the left-hand side. You click on Device Manager. Wonderful little icon on the right-hand side. It's going to say the name of your computer up top. Then it's going to have a whole bunch of other stuff under it. You go down to Sound, Video, and Game Controllers. You double-click it. Anything under that, if it's a audio codecs, that's fine. If it says Realtek, R-E-A-L-T-E-K, anywhere under that, do not apply that security patch. It will do something unfun to your computer. If it says Creative, if it says Sound Blaster, if it says any number of other fun little things in there, you are perfectly fine. Patch ahoy. All right. Now we just like to talk a little bit more about security even. How many people out there have wireless internet? I'm guessing there's probably more than a couple of you. And if you secure said wireless internet because you do things like banking, which you really shouldn't do over the wireless internet, or any other number of fun little things, then you might want to take into account this little article that we have linked up here. What is it? It's a very complex and very very detailed article on how to hack wireless networks. Why should this concern you, you say? Well, if you're using something called WEP encryption, where you had to type this long alphanumeric string anywhere between, 10 and 26 characters, depending on the strength of the encryption you chose, if you had to type that really long, nasty string in there to get access to your wireless network, then your wireless network is unbelievably vulnerable. How vulnerable, you say? Well, the person who wrote the article in question that we have linked up actually cracked the WEP encryption in under 60 seconds. So that's by sitting on anywhere where your network is reachable, which is could be outside your house, could be next to a whole bunch of other stuff. It could just be anywhere that signal reaches. He sits there, waits for a little bit, collects all these little packets that are floating about throughout the air, and then he does a little magic, which you can see described on that page, and breaks your computer in half. So, you might want to switch on over to something called WPA authentication. Again, they have links on how to set that up over on the webpage, and it also explains in detail on what all the other stuff is. So if you don't want to get too complicated, which a lot of people don't necessarily want to get into the ins and the outs and the whos and the whats of all the things that we're talking about here, that's perfectly fine. What you need to do is you need to contact somebody who does. Whether that somebody be a relative, I don't care. If it's me, all right, fine, give me a buzz. That's fine too. We're going to go into a little bit more about how to secure your wireless router in an upcoming show. It's been requested, so we figure we'll throw this out now because it was just published recently. So if you are using WEP encryption and you don't want to change, then you might want to do one of two things. Either remove the encryption entirely and just do nothing that you would want shared on the computer. So basically, you're not going to do banking, you're not going to do anything where you have to enter sensitive passwords in, you're just going to maybe surf the internet a little, you're going to play a couple games, yada, yada, yada. Or you could just turn off that and plug a cable in, because there's not much else you can do to secure your network in case somebody really wants to try and get in. So, there's that. All right, now let's just say you have a functioning network at home and you have a whole bunch of computers and you might even think about putting a server up or something like that. And you have something like Comcast at home internet. Well, Comcast has this fun little clause in their contract that says if you start using more bandwidth than the average user, then they can cut your service off. They'll give you one little warning, usually about 3 months after you decide to use that insane amount of bandwidth. And what will they do? They will cut your service off, not just for 2 weeks, not just until you reform your ways and get back together. No, for 12 months. If you'd like to see a little bit more, we have linked up a /.dot article over there. It's unbelievable. First of all, I personally hate calling ISP help desks, because I understand from the help desk perspective, they have to deal with people from all the way down to the lowest grandmother who does not understand anything that's going on. She just wants the box with the flashy lights to work correctly. They have to go down to the lowest ID10T, the PEBCAC, the 404, anything you want to call them. The absolute lowest common denominator. The LCDs of the world. He has to explain it to them. Then they also have to deal with people like me, who are a technical person who think they should be treated like technical people instead of like the LCDs. So they kind of have to find a middle ground, and more often than not, they end up sounding a little bit condescending to you. And if you try and tell them, don't worry about that, I understand what I'm doing, would you mind just helping me with this? Then they kind of slow down even more, and it gets really fun from there. So, if you have the bright idea of trying to run a server from your home and you have normal Comcast internet service and you plan on you having a whole bunch of people try and get files from you, you might want to think twice about it because it has serious and nasty consequences. Now, if you don't have Comcast and you have a couple of the other, or if you have another service or something like that, and you might want to give it a shot, hey, you probably could if it really comes right down to it, especially if you're not going to use a lot of bandwidth. If you're not sharing video, if you're not sharing MP3s, well, first of all, I could not host this podcast on my home connection. Why? Because audio files are big. But if you just have a plain text website or something like that, you have a couple people coming to, I don't see a real problem, but it is a violation of your service agreement to actually host a server on your home network. In fact, I think some of them even think it's a violation of service to have more than one computer use the internet connection. Craziness. So I just wanted to throw that out there. You should really head on over to the /.dot article to actually get a real look-see at some of the horror stories that people have had, and a lot of them are actually coming from Comcast. So I'm actually thinking of switching off Comcast to another local provider here. They provide DSL, so the service will be a little bit slower, but I get a static IP address. And if you don't know what that means, basically every time your computer connects to the network, it has an IP address, which is a series of numbers, kind of like a unique phone number or fingerprint for where your computer can be found on the entirety of the internet. So with Comcast, theoretically, every time your modem starts up, you get a new IP address. It's called dynamic IP addresses. And with the other company, with Cavalier DSL, you get a static IP address. Why is that? Well, I don't know. But so that means you will always be found in the same location. So I can host a little bit of files at home and be able to actually access them remotely, which would be a fun little proposition. So I might end up actually doing that, and I'll let you know how that works out. Then the final little thing we have here in our little service desk roundup. Oh, I'm sorry. We have two little things here in the service desk roundup. If you have ever called the Geek Squad, or if you've ever tried to apply to the Geek Squad, or if you don't even know what the Geek Squad is, Geek Squad's is a service organization that is actually part of Best Buy. From everything that I've heard, they're rather well trained. They do their job good. So if you'd like to understand what they do, and if you'd like to see their service manuals, apparently somebody's taken to posting them online. Everything from the CIA interview guide, which is a counterintelligence agent, basically the person who works behind the service desk, to a wireless network setup manual, media center setup manual, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Apparently there's 11 or 12 already hosted online, so you can head on over to the link that we have posted there. If anybody finds something kind of cool, please let us know. I'm resisting the temptation at this point to stockpile these manuals, because the old Paul would have filled up his hard drive with this and said, "This is awesome. At some point in time, I will sit down and read them." The new Paul really understands that this will never happen. So, making way for all the other video clips and everything that I've actually watched, and I think that I might want to watch again, I'm not going to start collecting other stuff. So if that's your bag, there you go. And then the last little bit that we have here in the service desk, how may I abuse you today section, is Thailand bans YouTube. Yep, you heard me. Thailand, that wonderful little country in Southeast Asia, has decided that YouTube just isn't needed in the country. So there was a 44-second... There was a 44-second clip where somebody was found spray-painting a picture on top of Thailand's king. And I actually think the other one was a picture of someone defacing a picture of Thailand's queen. So the proper thing is to ban the entire website. Congratulations, Thailand, you've moved yourself back to 2001. All right, and moving right along. That about ends that section. Now we have up a little bit of another section here. It's Offbeat is kind of putting it... is a kind way of putting the kind of stories we have up here. Some of them are completely out of whack. Some of them are just a little off in some of the stories that we found recently. So the first one is, what is it, Michael? Now, I really couldn't find out if I had posted this before. I probably could search through the blog, but like I said, I am beyond tired at this point. We have recaffeinated ourselves at roughly 11:38 in the p.m. here on Thursday. It is now Friday. So we're a little late with the show today. So I wanted to just throw this out there again just because I thought it was so fun. Apparently a mock-up of the Knight Rider's car is for sale. The Knight Rider car, rather, is for sale. And I don't mean the newspaper printings thing. It's the 1982 Pontiac Trans Am. It's a single-seater, just like the normal kit was. And it has a rough price tag of $149,995. Wow. Now, I don't know if it's actually the real car here. It seems that it might be a mock-up, because I'm pretty sure that we actually had a mock-up a little bit ago here. So I might want to actually just try to load up the website. It's not actually letting me know if it's there or not, but... Yeah, there's nothing in there. It's not letting me know. All right, so the next little thing we have here, if that site actually ever pops up, I will let you know. Oh, wait, here it comes. gotta love the internet. Whenever you're trying to do something, whenever you need something right away, it just doesn't show up. There was, actually, I'm sorry, it is the real Knight Rider. So, okay, that's the real Knight Rider as opposed to the faux Knight Rider, which I saw a couple weeks ago. It does not come with David Hasselhoff, but you can buy the real Knight Rider for $150,000 U.S. Neat. Nothing else pretty much to say about that. All right. The next little thing we have here is a pop-up book. Now, why would we throw a pop-up book into the Caffeination? Well, this is not just any pop-up book. This is a pop-up book with a full miniaturized streetlight in it. So when you open up the book, the streetlight materializes out of the centerfold and it illuminates. Now, why would this book be kind of interesting? Well, this is one of the first times that something like that has been done. It's called The Book of Lights. However, not very many children are going to be able to afford this. This is an $86 pop-up book. I'm sorry, for $86, this book has to do a little bit more than just pop-up. I mean, it needs to have fanfare. It needs to have confetti. It needs to have, like, the end-all and be-all experience of tactile reading. This has to compete with video games. This has to compete with all other manner of entertainment for children. There is no way that an $86 book is actually going to sell significantly. Just wanted to throw that out there. Thought it was kind of fun. I want to see a little bit of a video there, and I can't see if there's actually a video of it. But hey, it's a neat concept design. I think there's two working lights in the book. I'm not exactly sure what else is in there. But one of the things they probably could use in the book is a little bit of the next thing. It's called Mouse Bling. At least that's what I have. It's one fancy mouse. It's covered what are... The author of the story over the thing can only assume are fake jewels. Looks kind of like a disco ball, but on the top there's what can only be described as a gigantic button, like the one that you would use to fasten a shirt. But instead of the holes, there's giant rhinestones. I don't understand how exactly this mouse functions. It's just weird. It's kind of like somebody went nuts with a bedazzler, as per the website that we're looking at, Sci-Fi Tech blog, but it's just, I don't even know how it's a mouse, but it's just this giant crystalline glowing object that's sitting on the screen. So no word on how you can buy it, no words on pretty much anything else, just a little photo and a lot of confusion. Now, what up next? Well, we have Transformers, More Than Meets the Eye. This is Transfurniture, though. Again, from the Sci-Fi Tech blog, how would you like a stool with a chair inside? Yes, that's right, a normal stool, you know, the general sitting place, no arms, no back, no nothing like that. Well, how would you like to turn your stool, which can be useful at certain points in time, into a real honest-to-goodness chair? Well, you can do it with this thing. The chair back actually folds up under it, and the arms fold down along the side to give it a nice svelte appearance. Second time I've used svelte in this show. Alright, we're going to have to knock that word off now. And then you can, of course, fold the back up and the sides out. Now, I'm not sure exactly what the tensile strength of this little structure is here, but kind of fun, kind of interesting. So, kudos to the person who designed this, and if you could kind of expand on it a little bit, I'm pretty sure IKEA would eat this thing up. Now the next little thing we have here says, love is a battlefield. Now what self-respecting guy, romantic or otherwise, wouldn't like a little hand cannon that can actually shoot confetti, or in this case, shoot rose petals? Now I think this would be awesome for a wedding, and if I can find out exactly how much, this kind of thing is, they didn't say on the webpage, and I'm trying to see if I can actually get a good price on it, because my cousin's wedding's coming up, so this would be kind of fun to hit the bride and groom with as they came out of the thing. They actually reserved a whole suite of hotel rooms and everything for after the reception there, so that's going to be kind of fun. It's going to be a fun little escapade for that weekend. So oh, I'm sorry. Here's the price on the other blog. The price says it's $41. What it is, it's a giant tube filled with rose petals, and I guess when you pull the trigger or cock it and let rip, it's called the Rose Party Surprise. It throws the petals into the air with a loud pop. So for $41, you can shower just about anybody with flowers. That's kind of interesting, but not really our bag, but we thought we'd pass it on to the rest of you. And now we have the debut, as it were, of our newest source here at the the caffeination. And if you read the blog, you'll find out that we decided to include a website called Trend Hunter at TrendHunter.com. Basically, they solicit people to post what's cool, what's the new trend out there. Then people vote on it, and you get status as to your trends versus and cravings. I'm not really sure how the whole rating systems works, but it seems interesting enough. Just to give you a little bit of an information, they actually have a whole bunch of stuff up there about different green PCs. Chocolate beauty treatments for men. There's a whole bunch of different things. We're probably going to be coming back to that site for a news post tomorrow or something like that, just to kind of throw it up a little, kind of shake things out. They have really interesting things, really pertinent things, and you can usually hit stuff there before they end up on Engadget or Gizmodo, and then they get buried pretty quickly. So they have a lot of fun content over there. And what's fun about today's show? Well, it's the Chocolate Vault. What is this? It's a little contraption which actually protects all of your chocolate pieces with a minor jolt of electricity. Now, why would you need this? What you do is you set the timer, and anyone who tries to pick it up before then will get a little minor shock. The only thing is, so will you. So this is also somewhat of an appetite suppressant, because I know every time that I was going to go there, I would either break it if I really wanted the chocolate, which would, of course, defeat the purpose of buying it, or you'd be forced to wait the entire time. Then again, candy stores are kind of prevalent around this area, and so are vending machines, so if I got shocked one or more times and I really wanted to get a chocolate fix, I could always head out and get a Snickers. But I just thought it was kind of fun, kind of an interesting idea. There's a whole bunch of concepts that can be kind of worked around this, and the whole smoking cessation idea worked around that. That'd be kind of interesting to see. Every time you tried to light the cigarette, it would give you a shock in your mouth. Now, that would be more than a little discomfort that most people can handle. So, now, next thing we have up here is the, you heard it here first, and now read it here again. Yes, when we were going through our whole list of April Fool's jokes, we went over to ThinkGeek and found one of the funniest things that we'd seen in a little while. It's an 8-bit tie. Basically, it's a tie that's made entirely of what looks like giant pixels. Now, they were not intending to make this, but people liked it so much, even though it was a joke. They were writing to ThinkGeek. They kept requesting the product. Please let us know when this is available. Please let us know when this is available. And finally, by the end of the day, when we were recording our show, they cried uncle and said, you know what? We will create this tie. It will be priced exactly as listed, $19.95, for an entirely silk tie. The funny thing is, it's a clip-on. So, I mean, I know how to tie a tie, and I know most gentlemen around my age do, but kind of fun. But like they said over at the link to the product, the joke is definitely on them this year. The massive response that they got, I could see them trying to throw a couple ideas out for products in the future. It'd be kind of interesting way to test market them. And, hey, this is a joke. Really, that's a good thing because I really never wanted it. Now, if they had only created those Surge sticks, the inhalable caffeine sticks, now that would be crazy. Alright, last little thing for the Tech Tidbits section here today. It says, be afraid, be very afraid. Why is that? Because a company called Hop-On, a small company that exists both in Irvine, California and in China, has just got a crazy patent. Now, what does that patent do? Well, it says it has a patent for an MP3 phone with speakers on the side, in addition to a front and side button to activate its camera and video features. Now, that's funny, because pretty much every phone that can play an MP3 could be described as such. So that means that you have a patent for almost every phone out there. Somehow after all these phones were created. So they've planned to sue all the four major cell phone carriers in the U.S. That'd be Verizon, Sprint, AT&T, and T-Mobile. And then they're also going to sue all of the manufacturers of phones, because, hey, why not sue everyone on the planet? So that's going to be LG, Motorola, the whole nine yards. Anybody who's not a Hop-On phone. How many people out there have a Hop-On phone? I haven't even heard of this company until this came out, so Let's just hope the judge takes one look at it and decides the patent is invalid. This is a ridiculous patent, because that's basically what it is. Now, that wraps up the tech tidbits section, just around 35 minutes. Only a couple little things here for the caffeinated bits, and then we will send you on your way. But first up in the caffeinated bits, it's the perfect to keep the coffee flowing. They have a mini dishwasher. Now, I don't know what anybody would definitely think about this, except for the fact that it's $189. It's around the size of a microwave. It can fit approximately 4 plates, a couple things. But what I'm thinking is this would be the perfect size. Now, they really need to get the price point down here. This would be the perfect size to fit every little contraption from my coffee maker, the Cuisinart Grind and Brew. This has so many different little parts that all have to get washed almost every time you have a nice cup of or a nice pot of coffee out of it, that I could definitely see having a dedicated object within my kitchen just devoted to the servitude of the Cuisinart Grind and Brew. That would be a wonderful idea. Not bloody likely in my lifetime. $189 is more than a large nut to crack, and I'm pretty sure it wastes water like nobody's business. So, kind of wanted to throw that out there. I thought it was kind of fun just to think about the possibilities of mini dishwashers. There's also a possibility that this might actually end up in some of the smaller efficiency apartments or even hotel rooms I could see this throwing into. Hey, if they give you a tiny little microwave and a tiny little coffee maker, why not give you a tiny little dishwasher to go with the tiny little bottles of booze that you plan to steal? So that's about the only story we have here. Just want to give you a couple little updates and then send you on your way. We are going to be getting back to our spice profiles, the different things I prefer to add to coffee to not necessarily flavor it, but enhance the coffee, as it were. We're going to go through a couple of different sweeteners that are out there, like raw sugar versus cane sugar versus granulated versus powdered versus, you know, the whole nine yards. Honey, even. We've heard of people using syrup to sweeten their coffee. Craziness all around. So we're going to get back into that and do a little bit of an expose on a couple of those things coming up. And we also have a couple of new recipes we're working on. I know I've posted that a couple times, but we definitely want to put that out there. And we're going to kind of put a plea out there to anybody who has a story you want us to check out. If you have music you'd like us to listen to, like to play, or if you have pretty much anything you'd like to see discussed in the Caffeination Podcast. We're a pretty open podcast. We will gladly listen to any and all comers. And how can you do that? But you can send an email over to caffeination@gmail.com. Or you can head on over to www.caffeination.com. You can leave a comment, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to do. You can also sign up to our mailing list over there. All you have to do is send an email to caffeination.com and say, hey, sign me up to the mailing list. Or you can click register at the top of the page, and that'll register you, and you'll be added post-haste. Now, there's only 2 emails a week for each for each mailing list. What it basically is every time I post a show, I put the show notes edited down so that they don't throw your spam filter into a tizzy. And I throw that out there and send it over your way along with a direct link to download the show. So it's a little bit useful, and hopefully people find that interesting. And we'd just like to say that we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You should head on over to their website, techpodcasts.com, to see the brand new layout, a whole bunch of fun things happening over there. Hopefully you'll enjoy that. And you can also head on over to blueberry.com while you're at it. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting network site. All these different podcasts have their profiles up there to have fun, enjoy it. MySpace for podcasts, that's what it's turning into. And then if you'd like MySpace, you can head on over to myspace.com/caffeination to find our little home on there. And hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. This is a incredibly long outro, as it were. So this has been Caffeination number 120, probably the 7th or 8th take at this point. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.